again.
Welcome to all of you diehards. It is Facebook Live Motivation Monday from the underwater capital of the world, Charlotte, North Carolina, celebrating from Hurricane Florence, named after my mother.
I have my Charlotte hat on just in honor
I got
Charlotte
like 200 today. Likes just by posting a picture of my mom and putting the real Florence. And it was a pretty interesting weekend.
Listen, some people are really underwater and we're thinking of you.
We were motivated to get the hell over the rainstorm. And it was, it never really materialized in anything big. The stores were out of milk and toilet paper. I saw
no
like
water in this
five
city.
People in a row coming out of the grocery store with toilet paper.
I don't understand because like, the grocery stores for bread were empty. Who eats all that bread?
The water, water was empty. People were, I think the sewers were overflowing because people were peeing so much from all the water. But I think that that there's a kind of an overdone. If you're in a hurricane or you're in a bad storm or a winter storm or summer storm, the best thing to do is go to the government site like NOAA Weather and look at that and stop listening to the news. Because those people hype the living crap out of
everything. No, the best was that guy who, reporter, had the water up to his chest, no joke. And then there's a picture where you can see the reporter and you can see the camera guy. And the camera guy, the water's only up to his, like, ankles, if that. And it's like, seriously, the weather is fake news?
Yeah. Well, I don't hold on now, because that weather report, I know the one you're referencing from Anderson
this is
Cooper.
Doug, by the way. Right. Yes.
And I just want to defend some of us.
He was bathing. I know what it was. It was
I got to defend the fellow producers. He was demonstrating how deep the water gets in certain areas.
Oh, I'm sure he wasn't trying to scare people.
Well, I'm sure there are some people that do that. But at the same time, I think, and this could be something worth talking about, is that sometimes you have to scare people into preparedness.
I don't disagree with you, because when we got out of the car to go to the Chinese food restaurant for dinner on Sunday night, the water came all the way up to the bottom of my shoes. I mean, it was frightful.
We had a really nice Chinese food dinner.
We did. Cherry House, by the way, for those of you in Charlotte.
No, I agree with Doug. Sometimes you do have to scare people out of preparing themselves, because there were people in areas that needed to evacuate where they didn't evacuate because
they
thought, oh, it's no big deal.
Like a dozen people
died,
I
do understand that. But then there are people like who are in the center of the city and very far inland who probably didn't need to be as scared as they were. And if you just flip on the news for a second and you don't even listen to like the surrounding context and all you see is a guy in water up to his chest, you're like, oh shit, it's bad out there, we can't go outside,
we're gonna die, everyone's gonna die, floods are coming, and Noah comes by with his ark. That would have been like a cool one if they'd had like a little thing in the background of Noah there.
But I mean, the dogs didn't like it, I'll tell you that. They really
true.
Did
yeah,
not
they,
like it.
They don't adjust
rain.
Well to the hurricane humidity or something.
But anyway, you
barometric pressure.
You always say this, and it's true. It's not about the weather outside. It's about the weather inside.
Right. How are you adapting to it? What are you feeling about from it? What are you doing to capitalize on it?
You know, I think we're so excited about talking about the hurricane. We didn't even introduce our show.
Oh, this is Motivation Monday.
On Sell or Die.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And
what's
up,
everyone?
We're here to help you get over Monday all the way to Tuesday.
That's right. That's right. We're here to help you have the best week ever.
And the best Monday ever. And to try to go make a sale today.
Yeah, and in case you're joining us for the first time, Sell or Die is the premier sales and personal development podcast on the planet. And as of today, we're now on Spotify. I'm so freaking excited about that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you have to be like legit to get on Spotify, and we're on.
And somehow we made it. Okay, so a couple of things I want to talk about today, which I think are most important, is how you react, respond, and recover. What's your resilience factor from when a storm is there, or you know, when things go?
It could be a sales storm.
A little bit left of a little bit left of center. What are you doing about that to help yourself and your family first, and then all the rest of the things in your life? Are you okay about it? Are you positive about it? Or are you just like, well, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck? That kind of a Joe, and let's talk about some of the things that we've been doing that are helping ourselves. We self-motivate, and we do it by reading and writing and getting things better in our lives. And I know that many of you diehards right now may not be in the best condition of your life, and that's why you're listening. or that's why you're paying attention or following us. And I just want to reach out and say, listen, we're going to give you some lessons today about what has happened in the past. And those lessons will help inspire you, not just motivate you, inspire you to get better and to do better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the best thing. It starts with thinking better. And that's what this Positive Attitude book is all about.
And if you take anything from today, which we have a whole topic we're really excited to dig into, but it's to get started. Begin implementing things that you're learning on Sell or Die, all right? Like, don't just listen to us. Take action, guys. But I'm going to...
The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step.
I love it. All right.
Jen, did you say there were topics that we're going to ding into?
Very funny. Dan.
That's what you said. I was just saying what you said.
We are going to dig into topics.
Okay.
I have the ding in my mind. I really like it.
We're going to applaud
ding.
Into them, Doug.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can get into it. There we go. Okay.
So we have the famous Wes Wyatt here with us.
Oh, cool.
Dynamite Wes Wyatt.
Love Wes Wyatt.
We have Pat Sitkins. What's up, Pat? How's Florida treating you? We have Paul. Hey, Paul. Aaron says, good to hear you guys are doing well. Thank you, whoever's calling me. If you're on this podcast, I cannot answer you right now. Rigo.
Ooh, a watch phone, huh?
Is that we're dinging, not ringing.
Yeah, sorry.
Is that Dick Tracy
you
or what?
You just called me twice. I apologize, but I'm a little busy here.
Whoever you are, it's over.
Okay, we have Rigo. See you in Chicago. Cool. We are going to do a live Sell or Die in Chicago. We'll be there next Monday all day.
September 24th, I think, at the Crown Plaza Hotel just outside the airport.
Yeah, and we can pop this in case you're going to be in Chicago or plan to come see Jeffrey and just want to fly to Chicago. I hear flights are cheap now. It's cgittimer.com/Chicago. There's still a few tickets available.
And you should show up and just say who you are and who you're from. Tell them you're a diehard. And we will immediately give you $1 million in fake money.
No, actually, we have special gifts for diehards. So if you come to any public seminar, please make sure to come over to the table where we sell stuff. And we have a free thing for you.
Hint.
Yes.
It might be a wristband.
Hint.
But here, this is the challenge for you. What the hell are you doing today? And what are you doing that will take Uber action? And I don't mean calling an Uber.
Mm.
I'm talking about taking action beyond what you would normally do on a Monday. Now, some people are inspired by Monday and some people hate it.
And do not say, well, it's late in the day. Like, it's almost time to go home.
Oh, give me a break.
Oh, come on. There is plenty of time in this day to get stuff done. Great stuff.
So,
but before we dig into it, I just want to say hey to Chris, who said hey to us. And this is really cool. And I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, but Amin is here from Algeria.
Whoa.
I know. I wonder what time it is in Algeria.
Daytime.
Sales time.
It's always sales time.
So I have some names up here on your screen, guys. These are people that have joined our Sell or Die Hards page just today.
Scott
so if you want to shout
Wes
them
Schaefer,
out.
What? Ken Walls, the great Goran Brzezinski, Dimitri. Wow, people are from all over the world.
We are about to hit 500
Fred
members.
Bowie, related to David Bowie. Greg Scott, Jim Mantai.
Jeremy, this is awesome. Hey,
this
guys,
is pretty cool.
Welcome to the group. You're going to get an official welcome from us. And if you're not in the Die Hard group, the Sell or Die Hards official group on Facebook, what are you waiting for, guys?
Yeah.
We're almost 500 people deep, and we want to help you. Speaking
we're trying
of,
to get to 1,000. That's a lousy 1,000 people. So if you're if you're one of the 500, call somebody and ask them to join.
All right, so here's what we want you to do. We want you to write in the comments right now. So we have Patrick here from California, Jeff from Kentucky. Amin says it's 2038, which is 8:38 for Americans.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, at night. Thank you for joining us. So if you could, just write in where you're joining us from and if you're in the Sell or Die group or not. Come on, guys. We want to hear from you.
Okay, thank you. And
but
Jen,
we have
a question, right?
Yeah, we have a question from someone in the Die Hard group because we like answering.
Oh my God.
I love the
That's
sound
our question effects. From the internet sound.
I got it.
All right, here we go.
That's what it used to be like, by the way, when you went on dial-up to AOL.
That's right.
I know. I can hear the rest
from
of it in my head.
From a phone modem.
Yeah. Oh, man. Those were the days.
Yeah.
All right.
2,400K you could get bod.
You couldn't order a pizza and surf on the internet at the same time.
No.
Yeah, no. In fact, if you had AOL, you couldn't do either.
Yeah.
Now you just yell at your phone and it brings you a pizza.
Or you
That's
call.
True.
Yeah, exactly.
We did Uber Eats for the first time this
weekend.
Yeah,
we did Uber Eats this weekend.
Cool.
It worked.
Yeah.
It was actually pretty cool.
We all got something different.
And they all came at a slightly different time, but somebody was standing at the door with a bag of food.
Well, that's pretty awesome. All right. So Rachel asks, how do you handle a sales team that's not really on the same page? We'll say two millennials who are learning and growing and two in their 50s who aren't into change. She adds, there's no sales manager to report to.
Oh, my goodness. Here's what to do. Have them FaceTime each other. Have the old guys FaceTime the young guys and talk to each other in tandem to find out what are they thinking? What do they do that the other person doesn't do? The older guys are probably not as social oriented, and the younger guys are probably more email oriented than they are face to face. So why don't they talk about what their success rituals have been up to this point in time and exchange them? And maybe they can get on the same page instead of the manager lamenting about age differences, which to me is total bullshit.
Well, one of the things she added after, because we were, you know, a lot of people were commenting on this, and she said, for example, there's a new system or procedure. When it's put into place, people don't take action. So the introduction happens, everyone gets signed up, they have a training, and then they do nothing.
Wait, like, Philadelphia, people from Philadelphia are here. Cool.
Oh, man.
Bring on Santa Claus.
No, but you know what? Today we're going to talk about doing. So this is a perfect topic to get into.
Right, but you don't have to be a certain age to decide not to take action. That knows no limits.
What I commented on, because I replied in the Facebook group, and my feeling is it doesn't matter if there's no sales manager to report to. What about the leader? There's an owner of this small business.
No, what is about the person?
Hold on. Let me finish and you can go. So does the... I just got thumbs up from our viewing gallery of back there.
Jeffrey was like a horse that wanted to jump over that fence. You're like, hold on there, sweetie.
So what I said was it starts at the top. And how is the leader implementing the changes? What's the leader doing? What kind of example is the leader setting? Because if the leader says, we're all going to do this now, and then like doesn't actually do it himself
or herself,
it's likely that the people are going to use that as an excuse, whatever age they are, to not do it at all.
No argument. My argument is you're in sales. Kick your own ass. Chapter one, little red book of selling. No one's going to come over to your house and say, come on, Billy, you can do it. You know, you're a good guy.
Wake up 5 minutes earlier.
The bossy just told you what to do, so you got to do it. Did you eat all your bacon?
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's not imperative that the leader basically send down commands from on high. It's imperative that the leader instills that attitude of kick your own ass.
Exactly.
If the leader would start out by saying, here's what I'm doing, and I expect everyone to follow suit, that's great. As opposed to saying, I want everybody to do this.
I'm going
to
add something to that. It may be that the people who are being asked to do things have no idea how it's going to help them. So they themselves are not sold. So if you want them to be sold on implementing a change, you have to figure out, just like sales, how they're going to benefit from whatever that change is. So if you're asking them to put in 50 more things into our CRM, if I'm the salesperson, that sounds horrible. I'm not going to do it. But if you give me a reason why adding these 50 things to the CRM is going to be helpful, now all of a sudden, helpful to me, and I might benefit from it, now all of a sudden I might do it.
If you start out as a leader and say, this is what's going to help you make more sales, I'm going to pay attention.
Exactly.
If you start out by saying, we have a new policy and this is what we're going to do, I'm going to go bullshit and I'm either going to update my resume or I'm going to just not do it and ignore it.
Yeah, exactly.
Plain and simple.
So we have a bunch more people here. This is awesome.
Very nice.
So we have Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy. Anthony's here. Anthony, are you joining us in Philly or what? We need to know. We have Mark here. He says, any plans for North of the Border seminars in good old Canada?
Yeah, tell me where good old Canada is and I'll somehow get there.
But we'll be at the Tim Hortons off of...
Exactly. We'll be at the shitty coffee at timhortons.com. Probably Toronto, probably Montreal.
We have to go to Montreal.
Probably Vancouver,
so
but definitely Calgary.
Ooh.
Love Calgary.
Anthony, thank you. I like my hat too. By the way, on the back, it says Girl Tribe. How cool.
We should say you were on the fence about hat or no hat. So it's good.
I was on the fence because I didn't know if it would look weird with these big ass headphones.
It does look weird, but
it's okay. I'm supporting Charlotte today because we just got through this hurricane.
Yeah, we somehow meandered through it. I don't know. A tree branch fell. But not in this city.
A few fell. Yeah, exactly. Okay, we have Aaron here who is from Edmonton, and he believes he's a member. Well, Aaron, check that out. We need to, like, communicate with you.
Dude,
when
and
we're
get
not
to,
doing where, the
I'm not doing a seminar in Edmonton, but I love Wayne Gretzky.
Jeremy's from Houston. He joined 2 weeks ago. Roger's here. Anthony says, boo birds.
Huh?
Is he booing the birds?
Oh, yeah. Boo birds. No. That's what they're called in Philly. They're called boo birds. The eagles are the birds, and we boo, so they call them boo birds. Exactly. Exactly. We got our ass handed to us on a platter,
you know,
this weekend.
I didn't know if the eagles were going to come up today, because I thought maybe you're like mourning the loss.
No,
but
we're not mourning the loss.
You're okay about it.
We're afternooning the loss.
That's good
fine.
To know.
It's much
Glenn
better.
Bill, what's up? Glenn Bill, when are we going to see you?
Let me throw a couple things at you to begin our day here, because I want to do motivation for the people.
Yeah, let's
today
do
is
it.
Jim Rohn's birthday.
Or what? It is?
Yeah.
Who is Jim Rohn?
Why
Jim Rohn
we get him a cake?
Is America's business philosopher. He passed away a few years ago, but his legend lives on because his writings, and just Google Jim Rohn, best
He's
quotes of Jim
phenomenal.
Rohn.
He's freaking phenomenal. We should have gotten a cake in his honor.
We should have, but just go and buy The Art of Exceptional Living today, download it someplace, and listen to it for the rest of your life. It's absolutely unbelievable. Go to Kyle Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
At Jim Rohn, Kyle Wilson, Jim Rohn on Instagram. You'll read his letter to Jim Rohn, which is amazing. And
actually, Kyle Wilson is going to be a guest on our show.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
And what I'd like to do today is talk to you about one time that I had with Jim Rohn about taking action.
Okay, let's hear it.
I witnessed a half a dozen weekends with Jim Rohn where I sat in the front row with Darren Hardy, literally thigh to thigh, taking notes 8 hours a day. For 2 days. Thousands of people in the audience. And one day, fast forward a couple of years, and I got to know Jim Rohn for a number of reasons, but let's just...
I feel like we need our fun story music. I didn't know you were going into story mode here.
Yeah. We were acquaintances in a mutual situation. We both gave speeches to people. We knew each other. I had a total respect for him. He had a modicum of respect for me. And I see a sign going into this hotel in Dallas, Jim Rohn appears today. And I thought, Jim Rohn's going to be here today? I was there doing a seminar for something. I thought, I'll go, you know, take a look. I walked in the room, and there was about 45 people, 50 people in the room.
Mm.
And I sat in the back because it was almost over. And I approached him when he was done, and I said, how the heck can you motivate yourself to give the same kind of talk to 50 people that you just gave to 5,000 people? And he said, it's really simple, Jeffrey. And this is, by the way, every time I ever talked to Jim Rohn, he was Jim Rohn. This is the only time I ever talked to him when he was not, quote, in character. And he looked at me, he said, listen, when you're speaking to an audience, you never know who you're going to talk to and who you're going to inspire. One time I gave a talk to 19 people, and one of them was Anthony Robbins. The rest is history. Because if you look at Anthony Robbins' stuff, it reeks of Jim Rohn. He lifted as he thought it was appropriate. But the bottom line is Jim Rohn was the originator and Anthony was the duplicator or the replicator or the impersonator. You can take it however you want. But I think the bottom line there is he was also the inspirator.
Mm-hmm.
And he inspired this guy to go on to bigger, better things in his life that would have never happened if it wasn't for Jim Rohn.
But anyone in that audience could have been just as inspired.
Oh, yeah.
And to Tony Robbins' credit, he did something about it.
Oh, yeah. I will tell you, I give talks to audiences all the time. When I'm in public, I tell the audience, I say, listen, there's a few hundred people here today, and 20 of you, it'll change your life forever. I don't know which 20. So I'm going to give my talk to everybody.
Mm.
And that way, everyone feels like, oh, that's going to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Because when my first day in college, I'm in this big room with all these people at Temple University. And the dean of the business school comes out and says, look to the left of you. Look to the right of you. They won't be here when you graduate. And I look to the left and I look to the right and go, huh, I guess they won't be here.
But
and you know what? It was me. So the guy was looking at me. He was like, you're out of here, bud. That took a few years, but I finally succumbed. And I could have dropped out of any school, but I chose to drop out of Temple.
I love that. All right, Jeffrey. So I've been reading this book. I want to share it with everybody here. Can you guys see this on the camera?
No.
Okay. I hope you can.
Well, we're on a 7-second delay.
Oh, is it? Seven seconds? Okay, it's called Success Through a Positive Mental Attitude by, it says, a new book by Napoleon Hill and W. Clement Stone. I think
doesn't look new.
No, it's 1960, not I think. Very new. It
60-ish.
Was, 1960. That's yeah. Exactly correct. Anyway, so this book is one of the.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jenny.
One of the best books.
Let's look at
I've
the pictures of the men that were
read
there.
Yeah. In my life.
Yeah, and it's totally amazing.
I think you can get it online, like for real cheap. But it's amazing, and so I wanted to talk about something that has to do with what you just talked about.
Go for it.
So there's a chapter called "The Secret of Getting Things Done," and in that. There's a story about W. Clement Stone who gave a motivational talk.
Story music.
No, you only get the story music.
That's
I don't
right.
get the story music.
Oh. No, well, W. Clement doesn't
story,
get the story.
Okay?
I got
this
you,
is
okay.
even my story. This is just I'm telling people about the chapter because I think that you can benefit from it. Okay. So W. Clement Stone gave this talk in 1955. It was a motivational talk. And 2 days later, he got a call from Edwin East, who was a manager of a firm that sold metal cabinets. And Mr. East said, oh my God, something wonderful has happened. And I think you're going to be just as enthusiastic about it as I am. Let me tell you. And W. Clement Stone was like, well, what happened? Like, I gave you this talk 2 days ago. And he said, well, you recommended 10 inspirational books. One of them was Think and Grow Rich. I went home that night, Tuesday night, bought the book, read the book, started outlining my definite major aim. I woke up Wednesday morning, had my definite major aim, which if you guys have never read Think and Grow Rich, let's talk about definite major aim for a minute.
Okay. It started here, by the way.
Oh, Truthful it did. Living. In Truthful Living. That's so true. I wasn't even thinking about
no
that.
No problem. Go on Amazon. Buy it now.
Okay, but like talk about what's a definite major aim, Jeffrey, for those
you pick your lifetime goal and you write it down and you make a game plan to achieve it.
There you go.
Simple.
So something you could do tonight, you diehard you.
Yeah, it's something you could do right now while you're doodling, you know.
So Edwin East said, I wrote down my definite major aim and it was to double last year's sales this year. So what he wanted to do was however many sales he did last year, he wanted to double them this year. Okay. So he's telling W. Clement Stone the story and he's like, and guess what? I doubled them in 48 hours.
Whoa.
So he doubled his whole last year's sales in just 48 hours. Talk about a kick in the butt.
Now understand this. He was not motivated by this talk. He was inspired by this talk and he went home and motivated himself to take the action. There were 100 other people in the room who took notes and stuck them in a drawer when they went home and didn't do jack. And if you're not
and
from
never
Philly,
looked at them again.
Jack is half of a word. But you have to put yourself in a position where you are willing to take an action once you get the challenge.
Right, 100%. So you identify what that challenge is, and then you identify what you need to do, and then you do it.
Yeah.
Okay, so W. Clement Stone obviously asked this question, right? He said, well, how did you do it? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what he said. He said, and I wrote it out because I don't have the book memorized or anything like that. But he said, in your talk, you talked about Al Allen. And Al Allen was a Wisconsin insurance salesman on Clement Stone's team. And Al tried to cold call in a certain area. And Clement Stone said, Al was lucky because he worked all day and didn't make a sale. Like, just digest that for a second. Al was lucky because he worked all day and didn't make a sale. Okay? So then he said, that evening, you said, Al developed inspirational dissatisfaction. I freaking love that term.
Yeah, that's great.
Inspirational dissatisfaction. He determined that the following day, he would cold call on exactly the same prospects.
Oh, yeah.
And he would sell more insurance policies than any other representative in his group the entire week. So he would do in one day what anyone else would do all week. Okay. And so then he said, you told how Al canvassed the same city block. He called on the same people and he sold 66 new accident contracts. 66 when he didn't get one sale
the day before
to the same exact people. I mean, that's crazy. He said, I remembered your statement. It can't be done, some may think.
Oh, yeah.
But Al did it. And I believed you. And I was ready. And then I remembered the self-starter that you gave us, which was, do it now. How freaking cool is that? So he goes home and he's like, okay, I'm all pumped up. Al did it. I believed him. I can do it too. And he reads the book. He gets inspired. He writes his definite major aim. He's ready to do it. And then he makes a plan to do it.
And then he does.
And he does.
Okay, cool. Now, I want you to think about this, diehards. How would you go out and readdress the people that have already said no to you? And here's an answer. You call them on the phone or you bang on their door and you say, hey, you know, you turned me down yesterday and I just want to show up and say thank you because so many people turned me down yesterday. It inspired me. I'm sure you didn't really mean it, that you were like busy at the time and you were doing other things. So I came back today to ask you to reconsider.
Inspirational dissatisfaction.
Exactly.
I freaking love that. Okay, so here's what he did. So he repeated the self-starter to himself, the do it now phrase several times.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made a plan larger, more enormous than any other plan he had ever created, that people would think was absurd for the top 10 clients that had said no to him. And he went back to those top 10 clients, presented this massive plan, and sold 8 of them.
Now you're talking. If you have sales balls, you can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have the self-confidence to actually use your balls. And interestingly, and I don't want to keep bringing this up to tell you to buy it
Let's
now.
Let's put them. We have a link in there. Cool, Alex.
This is one of the words that Napoleon Hill uses as his top 5 words,
mm-hmm.
is self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that and you exude that, other people will feel it. Self-confidence becomes transferable. So if you're looking to motivate yourself and get better at what you do, then you have to portray your confidence to other people in order to get them to do it.
And here's the thing, like a lot of you, some of you are new. That's cool. Hey, we're happy you're here. But a lot of you listen to us
all the time,
daily. Like, I get messages. I love it. I listen to you every day. I'm at the gym. I listen to you on my commute to work. I mean, it's freaking phenomenal. Some of you are listening
every day,
all the time.
Send me a copy of your check.
The question is, what are you doing today, right now, after this episode, to go back to your desk, sit down, and take action?
On a rejection.
Yeah.
Call somebody that told you to fuck off.
No, make a list.
And go back to them and let them have it.
I mean, that's the trend, right? These two people were very successful because they went back to people who had said no to them.
What did the guy say? Like, I know you told me no yesterday, but you didn't really mean that, right?
Well,
like, I got another shot at this.
Or you could just talk about how that plan wasn't right for you, but I have the plan now that is
exactly
right for you. And so we need to chat because I would be doing you a disservice to not reconnect with you.
The courage that it took to do that was immeasurable. Because most of you diehards get a no from somebody or what they think is like, I took a lower bid or whatever the deal was, and you accept it,
mm-hmm.
like it's some kind of gospel. That is wrong. First of all, you don't even know why. Just because somebody took a lower price, there's other meaning to that.
Mm-hmm.
What they really meant is they didn't perceive enough value to buy a little bit better from you. That's all that happened. Your ability to convince the other person wasn't that convincing. And you have to look at it from that perspective rather than blaming the guy that said, I took a lower price. Because this example that Clement Stone gave, he could have blamed everybody. Well, I didn't make any sales. They all rejected me. They all rejected? No, dude, you sucked. You were a wimp. You took no for an answer. And you decided to strap up your boots a little bit tighter and go out to the same people and get them to say yes. Way to go.
You don't know what place that person was in that you were dialing on. You don't know what place they were
exactly
in. You don't know where their head was
exactly
yesterday.
Exactly.
Where will they be today? It's like Bill Belichick, one of your favorite NFL coaches.
Who?
Famous for running the same play twice,
yeah,
and a lot of times on that second time because the other team is not expecting it.
Correct.
They get a big result.
Did we just go back to football?
We did.
Oh
yeah.
I apologize.
That's okay. It was The Boston Patriots, erroneously named the New England Patriots.
Rachel says
so people might like them.
Rachel says there's some hardcore coffee in that cup. It's Death Wish coffee.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
It's the best freaking coffee on the planet. Yes, there is.
It's now going to appear in grocery stores, by the way.
I know, isn't that crazy? It's cool. But I like that it just gets auto-delivered to our house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that like when it comes, I'm like, oh, we must be really
DeathWishCoffee.com. Go there and subscribe. You'll love it. I love it. It's like good. It's good coffee.
It's strong.
Even
it's
if you
good.
Need coffee and you go, oh, I got to have a... This coffee actually tastes good.
It does. It really does.
It's our universal go-to coffee wherever we are. We
bring it with us. We bring the Keurig.
Right. We brought... The Marriott cheap bastards is... I don't want to call them all cheap bastards, but they pretty much are. Their towels aren't even worth stealing. And they don't have their name on them, which is even more stupid. Like, wouldn't it be cool if it says stolen from the Marriott? And there's a sign in the thing instead of save the planet, where you go in there, they want to save the freaking world by asking you to use your towels two or three times. If they said
so
Marriott
small.
Embroidered towels, buy one, steal one free.
Yeah,
this,
but like,
this
so
show
small.
Is not brought to you by
Marriott.
No, or paper straws.
Exactly.
Hey.
Yeah, but I'm only challenging you that we are so Death Wish oriented. We brought our own Keurig machine because they didn't have one in our room. And our own water, too, by the way, I might add, just, you know, because you got
we found some.
Well, you have to use, you have to use spring water in your coffee machine or something's wrong. And we brewed Death Wish all weekend.
We did.
It was wonderful.
We did, yes.
So anyway.
The point is, okay?
What is the point?
I was going to say, there's a point? Okay, good, yes.
So Edwin East was listening to that motivational talk with Clement Stone. And he took action. How many other people were in that audience? Just like when you saw Jim Rohn, how many other people were in that audience besides Tony Robbins? I'm sure hundreds, if not 1,000.
I took the notes. I wrote 2 articles about the notes. There's still, if you go to Gitomer.com and you want a red, you want a Gitbit, just say Jim Rohn in there. And you'll get his 25 best motivational quotes. I see those quotes all the time. I talk to Darren Hardy all the time.
We'll put it in the show notes for those of you who
without a doubt.
Don't know where to go.
And it's amazing what you will learn from that, and it will actually help you understand yourself better. That's what Rohn did. He helped you understand yourself better and asked you a billion questions about why you weren't doing this, because it was pretty obvious.
Yeah. So we want to take this conversation online or offline to online. I don't know how to put that. But in our Facebook group. So if you go to the Seller Diehards official Facebook group, we want to hear about a time that you took action. A time where most
people...
you
were
people,
down and out.
Yeah, or whatever. You don't have to be down and out, but you might want to achieve a definite major aim of some sort. What is that goal? And how did you take action? What was it? Because that'll be inspirational to some of our other listeners, and it'll be really cool to see.
So whether you're down and out or down and up, this will be the right thing for you to do. I want to tell you something that I did in 1977.
Ooh,
for those of you not born before that,
I wasn't born yet.
No, I was not in the best of financial shape. I was living in the middle of the country doing consulting in textile screen printing, which didn't pay very well. But I went upstairs in this little attic room that I had in our house, and I wrote a letter to myself. I wrote what was right and what was wrong with my life. And I said, look, I'm going to be better at this. I'm going to do something better. I still have the letter, by the way. I'll do something better at this, and I'm going to do it starting right now. I'm going to go downstairs and floss my teeth. But I had a PS, if I could only floss my hair.
Did you have hair there?
No.
Then?
Oh. I had hair, but it was fading fast.
Gotcha.
But the bottom line was, I decided to inspire myself, not motivate myself. I had to inspire myself because it was only me.
Mm.
I had to look at myself in my own mirror. The twins were there. Rebecca wasn't quite born yet, but I was on the balls of my butt and wanting to do better. And immediately I did.
Mm.
Literally, cool. I rode to Chicago to one of my customers. And on the way, I listened to the entire set of Dennis Waitley winning tapes.
Oh, cool.
And they're phenomenal. If you've never listened to them, they're phenomenal. I listened to the whole set all the way to Chicago, went into the CEO's office and got a contract signed. Boom.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, totally cool.
Speaking of winning, some of you have been writing in to me or Jeffrey asking about sales slumps and how to get out of them. So I wrote an entire ebook on sales slumps. It's called, getting out of them, 27 winning strategies to go from sales slump to sales streak.
And some of you are slumps, so it could be a sales slump.
It's just 27winningstrategies.com. Exactly. And we'll put that in the show notes too. It's free, free for now if you would like to get it.
I would highly recommend it. It's very, very good. I actually read everything myself in the editing process.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
It's very damn good.
Thanks.
There it goes, right there.
Yeah, it's right there.
Ooh, it's right in front of you. A winning streak. You want to go to a winning streak, not a losing streak.
Right. That's right.
Well, you want to get on a winning streak, but even when you get that first win, I think it's important to celebrate that victory. I've been running a lot more. Mm-hmm. And
you have been?
I have been. Yeah. I've been trying to get out, run a little more,
during the hurricane.
Not during the hurricane, but I have been running. I ran 10 miles last week.
What?
Holy smokes. But the point is, I'm kind of a humble guy. Like, I don't like
not
to.
Not kind of. You
Mr.
are,
Humility.
Yes.
No, and I mean that.
You take a compliment with a
humble.
Shit.
I agree.
And that's how I was raised. But I found that celebrating these milestones inspires me to continue to go out and get more milestones.
All right, let's all celebrate Doug, but we don't have the button to press.
I don't want you to celebrate me. I want our listeners, I want our diehards to go out there and celebrate their successes.
I was ready to give you the lesson of running. Running doesn't help you live longer, it just seems longer. Thank you very kindly.
Izzy is here. Hey, Izzy.
But you never feel bad. You never feel bad in the shower after a run. Is that correct, Alex?
Alex runs too. We have a bunch of runners here.
Do you run at all?
That's enough.
He runs away from the microphone whenever you ask him.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness, Ron Goodwin is here. What's up, Ron?
My challenge to you diehards is whatever it takes for you to feel good about yourself, do that, unless it's drinking or watching television. If beer makes you feel good or TV makes you feel good, you're in trouble. But running, that's going to make you feel good, or doing push-ups in the morning, or drinking a good cup of coffee while you're writing the thoughts down that you have in your head, that's really good. What is important to you, but do what is also good for you.
Yeah, but your challenge for this week is really simple. Create your goal, write it down, and do it now.
Yeah. And to quote Nike, just fucking do it.
Wow.
Is that what they say?
Your
pretty close.
On here.
You're pretty close.
Your 10-year-old granddaughter's on here.
Oh, hi, Izzy. I meant something else. I swear. No comment from Isabel?
She said hey.
She said hey.
We'll probably see you soon, Izzy.
Yeah. We'll be at the North Lake Mall. For those of you wanting to come out and visit, we'll probably be there by 5 o'clock tonight.
We need some stuff from Apple. You know how that goes.
In the meantime, I think we're going to go now.
We are. Guys, have a great, great, great week. We will be in touch on the Facebook group, so be sure to join us there.
Sell or Die on Facebook. Just go to Sell or Die Podcast. And join us tomorrow. When our guest will be...
Who is our guest tomorrow? We have a great guest coming up. Are we filling the donut for
him? We have Mike Schultz coming up tomorrow.
Mike Schultz is good.
Yeah, he's real good.
Then we have a sales manager spotlight this week.
Nick Stepanovich coming up on Wednesday. Yeah.
This is going to be a great week. So Schultz, make sure...
I just want to say on Schultz, like if you're really interested in sales trends or sales statistics, if you're a numbers person... Mm-hmm. Gotta listen to this episode.
That's true. But do us a favor. Share this with both your friends. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, just like Paul did. He said, your show is very practical and it helps salespeople sell more. Keep going.
Thank you. We will. And come to see me live. You can get a ticket for Chicago. You can get a ticket for Dallas. You can get a ticket for Atlanta. And you can get a ticket for Philadelphia.
I can't
wait to be in Philadelphia. You're in for a treat. Fly in.
All right, everybody.
I will ask the entire audience to boo me, and it will be on video literally forever.
Oh my God. All right.
So thank you very much for being our diehard guests. My name is Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm challenging you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Au revoir.